Welcome back, loyal listeners, to another exciting episode of The Answer of the Week, where we read your answers and play some of them back for those of you brave enough to call us. We need more of you calling. Some slackers this week. We only got like three of you. That is unacceptable, and you will be punished if you don't start calling us. Joe Patrick.
So somebody did try to call on Skype.
That's true. Someone did try to call us on Skype and was screwed up. You just got to keep trying. We appreciate you trying. Joe Patrick, what do we ask these nerds this week?
This week's question was, who is your favorite alter ego in comic books?
I like it.
The man or woman behind the mask.
I dig it.
If you will.
Where are we starting? Twitter or the Facebooks?
Well, we got one tweeter this week. Let's just get it out of the way.
Let's go to the tweeter.
Our one lone tweeter comes from Aaron Wagner, who is at Fuzzy_Esquire, who writes in, I would say, from Love and Capes, the Crusader's alter ego, Mark.
Okay.
I've never read Love and Capes.
I read the one shot, and I really liked it. It was fun. But there's been like a one shot and two minis, I think. And it's good, from what I understand. I haven't read a lot of it either, but I've heard it's great stuff.
He also says, or Kemlo Caesar, a.k.a. Sergeant Hyperdog from Top Ten.
Wow.
Who is awesome.
Yeah, I do like him a lot.
He's just a dog in a robot suit.
Yeah.
I love it.
Makes him stand up.
I love it. I take it back. Aaron wasn't our only Twitter. We got one from our good buddy Andrew Merzak, who is always the first to tweet at us. He says, Patch from Madripoor. You'd never guess that that mystery man is really just a Canadian worker and teacher.
How could you have possibly known? I do love Patch, though. I'm a big fan of Patch.
Like, who in Madripoor does not know that that's Wolverine?
Yeah, they all do. And I think they even made jokes about it after a while. It's like, I can't really do the Patch thing anymore. It was never really a good disguise to begin with. You know, like, well, that's now Wolverine. He's got two eyes.
You know? I like to think that Wolverine still shows up as Patch from time to time, and they just humor him. And they're just like, oh, Patch, hey, listen, man, I'm really sorry. Here's that information you were looking for.
Wink, wink.
All right, moving over to Facebook. Our first Facebook response comes from Wade Lyles, who says, Jack Knight. He is who he is, and I love him for it.
I would argue Jack Knight was always just kind of Jack Knight. Like,
yeah, but I'm allowing it because we love Starman.
You love Starman a lot, and I love it too. I do.
You're sitting in front of a camera. I can see you. You have no shirt on. You've got Starman tattoos.
I should mention Joe Patrick's on Skype because he was too lazy to come over today.
I'm not too lazy. I'm on dog duty.
I see. Gross.
Someone's got to take care of this dog.
You're sitting on dog duty?
Dog duty.
Dog duty.
Moving on. Andrew Morrison says, I got to go with Eric O'Grady as the S.H.I.E.L.D. operative / the irredeemable Ant-Man because he's kind of a nasty C-word.
Whoa.
That might be the first time anyone's used the C-word on Two-Headed Nerd.
I'm going to say our buddy O'Grady is from Europe because they kick that around a lot more than we do.
Andrew Morrison is his name. Eric O'Grady is the character.
Pardon me. I'm going to say Andrew Morrison is from Europe because they kick that word around a lot more than we do.
I don't think so. He's friends with our friend Micah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, O'Grady was kind of a jerk, though. That was his thing.
That's right. The irredeemable Ant-Man.
I liked him a lot. It was a fun story.
Killed by robots.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Freaking robots.
John Boucher writes in saying, I've always loved Matt Murdock just because there are so many unique aspects about him that really make him stand apart from other characters. He's blind. He's religious. Or at least he has been in the past. He's a lawyer. I find stories about his lawyer life just as interesting as the stories about him punching supervillains. And there's always plenty of opportunities for the two halves to intersect in interesting ways. Turning some of his stories into a kind of superhero Law and Order spinoff. I also find it kind of funny that while Daredevil works alone, Matt Murdock has a sidekick in the form of Foggy Nelson. That said, drink. The downside to him being one of the few notable lawyers in comics is that writers tend to overuse him in non-Daredevil stories. Anytime a character in the Marvel Universe needs a lawyer, it is always Matt Murdock or She-Hulk.
Well, who else would you call? I mean, really?
You don't think there's a million other lawyers in the Marvel Universe?
Probably, but not that they know our Daredevil. I mean, come on. I would totally call Daredevil.
I, I want to read the story where somebody gets in the legal trouble and he just, like, he heard it on good authority that Matt Murdock is just not that good of a lawyer. And so Daredevil is confronting him at the next, like, Avengers meeting, and the guy's like, he's like, why didn't you call me? And the guy is like, my wife recommended somebody.
After you lost that case from Moon Knight, you know, I mean, like...
I always appreciate John Boucher's answers. He's always very well-spoken.
He is very well-spoken, and I love his Matt Murdock answer because it's true. Matt Murdock is just as interesting as Daredevil.
Yes.
Absolutely. Just, and most alter egos, not as, quite as interesting as their main hero.
Matt Damon says, I've always been a huge fan of Vic Sage in writer Denny O'Neill's 80s run of The Question.
Oh, you and me both, Matty. Loved it.
With most comic characters running the gamut from superficial cardboard cutout to archetype, he had almost novel-level depths to him in those 22 pages, from ruminations on violence to the issue where he went to his high school reunion and was confronted with his legacy there. All great stuff. I have never read The Question.
It's so good. I love Denny O'Neill's Question. And they've gotten so far away from anything that I liked about that character.
Yeah, he's the mystical being from 3,000 years in the past.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he's supposed to be now, but he is definitely not my question.
Dwight Brown says, for me, it's got to be Bruce Wayne. He was the first self-made superhero. He is something that the normal reader can at least pretend to try to be. You can sum up his appeal in two words, billionaire playboy.
Okay.
There's a reason Bruce Wayne is one of the most famous. Bruce Wayne is almost as famous around the world as Batman.
Yeah, I think Bruce Wayne is interesting because Bruce Wayne is kind of a persona, just like Batman, it's a persona. Like, Bruce Wayne is not the real Bruce Wayne. The, like, billionaire playboy, kind of, like, moron, you know, sleeping with Hollywood stars and stuff. It's, like, also a persona, and I think that makes for a very interesting alter ego.
Well, yeah, Batman is the real identity.
Yeah.
And Bruce Wayne is a mask.
Yes.
I love that take.
It's creepy.
Ashley, Victoria, Robinson.
Hey, welcome back, Ash.
Who got last week's shout out. She really appreciated being called a princess.
She was our 550th like.
That's right. Tim Drake.
Let's call always her, she's Tim Princess Drake. Ashley from now on. Let's call her Princess Ashley.
Princess Ashley writes, Tim Drake, always Tim Drake. Growing up and being told I was a smart kid, Tim made me believe I could be Robin.
Oh.
Dude, I love Tim Drake.
Tim Drake is my favorite Robin.
Tim Drake is my favorite Robin.
Look at us! And
I am super sad that there is not a Tim Drake thing in the DC Universe that I care to read.
Nope.
Not even a little bit.
Nope, not even kinda.
Brian Domingos writes in with a doozy. Wesley Dodds in Sandman Mystery Theater.
Good answer. I love Wesley Dodds.
He was a well-to-do war vet with PTSD. He dealt with the horrors of war by using his wealth, his brains, his tenacity, and his prophetic dreams to save New York City. He wasn't particularly handsome or in all that good a shape, but he was brave and loyal, and with the lovely Diane, had one of the most realistic love affairs in comic history.
Yeah, they were so sweet. Man, yep. Matt Wagner's Sandman Mystery Theater was so good. I loved it.
Chalk one up for things missing from the New 52.
Yeah, no shit.
There's probably going to be a lot of that. Buzzy, Brown, Brennan.
Triple B.
Triple B says, Frank Castle. It's funny because there's nothing alter about it. It's just one big full-blown ego.
Yeah, pretty much.
Seriously, though, I do like the Punisher. And speaking of mobsters killed my family, I'm really digging the Helena Wayne character in the New 52.
Oh.
The daughter of Earth-2's Batman and Catwoman pretending to be a dead mobster's dead daughter. Huh. What's not to love? The Huntress miniseries leading up to the New 52 World's Finest was great. Still waiting for World's Finest to find itself, but I'm a patient man. Yeah, I did kind of enjoy that Huntress miniseries.
You're a very patient man, apparently. I love the Frank Castle answer, because he's one of the few alter egos that everybody knows who he is. You know, like when he escapes from prison or something, there's like something in Madison Square Garden, it's like, Frank Castle is on the loose. You know,
yeah.
The Punisher is back. So it's kind of cool that he's like a boogeyman, regardless of what you refer to him as. You know, he's either the Punisher or Frank Castle.
Stephen Kohler says, Peter Parker. The fact that he never broke Flash Thompson in half in high school makes him a better man than I.
Oh.
That's a good answer, Steven.
I'm surprised it took this long to get to Pete.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
Tony Borer, who is one of our buddies from the 76th Street podcast, Tony says Bruce Wayne because he's the man. It's true.
Fair enough.
Darren Jensen writes in saying Kent Nelson. He doesn't give any explanation, but he did want to show his appreciation for the Vic Sage and Wesley Dodds answers. He says that they are wonderful.
Kent Nelson.
Dr. Fate.
Oh, okay. Got it.
The Golden Age Dr. Fate.
Got it.
I do love Dr. Fate. Mm. Jim Stafford, who tried to call us on Skype.
Sorry, Jim.
It's Jim. I appreciate it. Or he tried to add us as a contact and...
We added him. He's there now.
Okay, good. Jim says, hard question to ask an ex-guy, as there's no real feeling of off-duty versus on-duty personas.
That's true.
That said, drink, I've often loved how Magneto has been written out of costume. A lot of writers have really nailed him as a flawed but earnest freedom fighter. Of course, just as many have had him as a ranting fascist nutcase, but this ain't theater, it's the funny books. And I'd be remiss not to say Clint Barton... based completely on his current series, which should actually be called Clint rather than Hawkeye,
yeah.
Bro.
Bro.
Wonderful answer, Jim.
I like yes, a bro. That's good.
I do. Gregory Litchfield, who you may recall we made fun of for being an old man last week.
Oh, he got older since we talked to him last.
He wrote in with, if you young whippersnappers can remember way back... If you two young whippersnappers can remember way back to the two-headed nerd question of the week number 12, I have been a Spider-Man fan since the 60s, and The Amazing Spider-Man number 100 was the first issue of Spidey that I bought.
Okay.
So it should come as no surprise that Peter Parker is my favorite comic book character behind the cape, quote-unquote.
Right on.
Which I assume you meant metaphorically, so Parker still counts despite Spidey being cape deficient. I was in junior high school when Peter was in college, but I could still relate to and yet be envious of Peter's swinging life in and out of costume. I love the way he sparred with J. Jonah Jameson when delivering the latest pics of Spidey in action to the Daily Bugle. I was envious of his relationship with the gorgeous Gwen Stacy, who, even at the age of 13, I remember wondering how a nerd like Peter could score with a babe like Gwen.
Yeah, it never made sense. For a total nerd, he always had, like, completely hot babes.
Yeah, and his supermodel wife, Mary Jane. Needless to say, when Gwen dies during a fight with the Green Goblin in issue 121, I was right there with Peter, feeling both anger and grief at her senseless death. When I left college in 78 and entered the working world, Peter was still going to Empire State University, so he and I were starting to part ways on a personal level, but I still followed him for several years to come. Peter is, dare I say, the most three-dimensional comic book character... behind the cape! And then in parentheses he writes, I like it when Joe yells.
All right, there you go. Well, you know how to work us. Couldn't agree more. Yeah, Peter Parker. Hard one, hard not to just pick Peter Parker.
Absolutely, absolutely.
He was like the first real guy alter ego in comics, really.
Yeah, I mean, definitely he's definitely one of the trailblazers in terms of like the personal life being as important as the superhero life.
Right. Because it'd be like Batman was just crazy. Clark Kent is just a disguise, you know, I mean.
Yeah. Great answer, Greg. Thanks for being a good sport about us making fun of you.
Sorry you're so old, dude.
That's what it's all about. You were in college in 1978?
I was 3 years old in 1978.
You graduated college in 1978?
I don't think I was toilet trained in 1978.
I was born in 1978. In your face.
Gross.
Next up is John Mitchell, who says, I've been reading The Watchmen again, and I've really been enjoying Rorschach's alter ego, the man with the end is nigh sign.
Yeah. One of my favorites, definitely. Super creepy, scary dude.
Both the crime fighter and his alter ego are a crazy person, but does that mean the actual guy is crazy? Yes, I think it does.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question.
Andrew McBride writes in saying, Rorschach is an awesome choice. Clark Kent as well, given the commentary in Kill Bill Volume 2. Forgot about that.
It's an amazing scene.
But I'm a fan of those heroes where their alter ego is more important than their superhero one. The best example of this is Reed Richards, it's totally unnecessary that he can stretch. That's totally true.
Yeah, I mean, like, Reed Richards is the superhero. And the fact that he can stretch is whatever. You know, I mean, it's secondary to his amazing intellect.
Absolutely. I think that is a great example, Andrew. That it's almost irresponsible for him to be a superhero.
Yeah.
It's like, go cure cancer already. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Randy Andrews says, I'm going to have to choose Cliff Secord of The Rocketeer.
Whoa!
He's an awesome alter ego, set in the past, and he's got the best old school look in comics. He's my favorite.
He might have the best looking babe in comics, too.
That's right.
He was hooked up with not Betty Page.
Yeah, there you go. It's Betty Page.
It's totally Betty Page, but she wasn't Betty Page.
Right.
She just always ended up in, like, in ridiculous outfits.
She was a model.
Yeah.
In The Rocketeer, she is a model.
Right.
But she's, yeah. And finally, Bob Osland. I'm pretty sure Bob's written him before.
Yeah, we haven't heard from him for a while, but Bob has written before.
All right. I'm going to cheat and go with a whole team.
Whoa.
The Thunderbolts.
Okay.
All right, now, huge spoiler here for a comic book that's 15 years old. I think that the reveal at the end of issue one of the Thunderbolts actually being Baron Zemo and the Masters of Evil has got to be one of the best twists in modern comics. I totally agree.
I did not read it, but I know I'm aware of it, and I also completely agree. I think it's really cool.
I bought Thunderbolts number one off the rack, and it was 1996 or 7. And so the internet was a thing, but not like it is today.
I was only like 6 years old.
Right. And certainly not like it was with them spoiling comics 2 days in advance.
Right.
Well, I picked Thunderbolts up off the rack and was legitimately surprised to see that they were the Masters of Evil in disguise. It was such a well-done stunt by Marvel and Kurt Busiek. The Thunderbolts had like two or three appearances in other books, setting up, you know, their identities and the notion that they were a new team taking up for the Avengers and the Fantastic Four after they were, quote-unquote, killed by Onslaught. They were actually doing Heroes Reborn at that time. And when you get to the end of number one and Baron Zemo, or Citizen V, walks out from the shadows and he's wearing his costume and then he puts on the Baron Zemo mask, it was like a punch in the face.
Yeah, man. This is back before they could screw up your stuff. This is back before. This is when you didn't know what was happening until you opened that new comic box, you know?
Yeah. So well done, Bob. That is a great answer. Not cheating at all. I love it.
Solid answer.
Okay. That is it for Facebook.
All right, let's move along to our voice calls. I'm guessing this first one is from our buddy Shonix, who may have a guest hosting gig in his near future. Let's see what he had to say.
Hey, Joe and Matt, it's Shonix with the answer to the question of the week. Favorite superhero alter ego, female, male, counterpart, whatever. Man, what is an alter ego anymore? They're not the secret anymore in comics. Kind of crazy. It's kind of shadowed the line between them. A great one was Peter Parker and Spider-Man, but that's kind of fizzled away for me. The bad ones, what about those? Like Ronin and Echo, spoiler. I don't know. It goes along the lines of I love Peter Parker, but Mark Grayson / Invincible would have to probably be the best. I really enjoy him as the hero, Invincible. And I love how Kirkman has allowed to see both sides, how he is Mark Grayson as Invincible and both sides, because his private life and the things that, you know, I love the early years, but as things changed, and especially what's going on now with him, it's real stuff. And yeah, Mark Grayson, Invincible for the win. Tough question this week. Great. Keep them coming. Thanks, guys. Peace.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, I love it. Invincible is an awesome title. It is one of those books, you're very right, where his alter ego is kind of secondary. Like, he doesn't have a secret identity, per se. And so his life as Invincible is his life as Mark Grayson.
Yeah, they're kind of inseparable.
And I love how Kirkman kind of weaves his personal life in with his superhero life. I just want to say that the Google transcript for this call was especially wonderful. Here's a little sample. I love how Kirkland has a little out, the sea balls, size how it is.
keep trying, Google. You guys are doing a hell of a job. All right. This
Answer,
one,
Sean, thanks for your call, as always.
This next one is from Winooski, Vermont.
Oh,
yeah.
A new caller.
New caller. I'm excited. No idea who it is because,
I know.
Again, the Google transcript is terrible. Here we go.
I know who it is.
Joe, you guys. Former THN co-host Keith Silva.
Oh, it's Silva.
Calling in the answer of the week. Favorite alter ego, secret identity. Let's go with Jason Blood, Demon Etrigan. Just a really, I mean, if your name is Jason Blood, good chance you will be possessed by a demon. Matt Wagner, who I know New Guy likes a lot, and Joe's probably never heard of, did this awesome 4-issue miniseries. It was written and drawn by him, and his Jason Blood is angsty and self-hating, and there's a great prologue with Merlin where he has all these thorns, like, stuck all over his body, and you open up the first page, issue one, and the giant thorn, like, sticking under his eyelid. Oh, that creeped me out. That was awful. But, yeah, let's go with the demon. Go with Jason Blood. It has come to this. Matt. Matthew. Bomb. Guy. I've seen the error of my ways. I now know the problem is. The problem is Joe. Just think, without Joe, we could talk about sports. Without Joe, we could talk about New Mutants. Without Joe, we could talk about Prophet. Without Joe, we could talk about how awesome Paul Pope is. Without Joe, we could talk about Cerebus. We could talk about TMNT. It would be awesome.
All right, never mind that last part. That's part of a different conversation Keith and I were having.
Listen, Silva. I was reading comics. I was reading comics when you were just a twinkle in your daddy's eye.
I'm not true.
I think he's really old.
I love his Matt Wagner, Jason Blood answer, though. I loved that Demon Mini. It was excellent stuff.
Google thinks that he said, I mean, if your name is Jason Blood, there's a good chance that you'll be possessed by the man Matt Wagner.
The man Matt Wagner.
Which is pretty true, I guess. Yeah, Jason Blood is a good character. Tortured soul.
Yeah, Jason Blood's a really fun one. I like the whole story with the demon and everything, and like it's sort of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's a really good answer. I like that one.
There are some versions of that origin where Jason Blood is not real.
What?
He's a construct created by Merlin to cage the demon.
What?
Yeah, like he's not a real dude.
Who wrote that? I don't remember that.
I don't really dig that as much. I like the idea that he's like bonded to some poor sap.
Was that Kirby business?
No, I think that came way later.
Oh, okay.
But listen, Keith, if you want a podcast so bad, you start your own, buddy.
Hey, don't take it out on him just because he can talk about sports and you can't. All right. That's not your fault. That is your fault. And moving right along, I'm going to say this is Camarillo Brillo, but Google transcript seems to think it's camera liberal. Let's see what we got here.
Hey guys, it's Camarillo Brillo calling in with the answer of the week concerning our favorite alter ego to a superhero. Superhero alter egos are a weird deal because they don't really appeal to me at all, especially now that I'm a little older. But my son still kind of has that thing where when he looks and realizes that Tony Stark is really Iron Man, he thinks he knows something he shouldn't. So it does kind of remind me that it was kind of fun at one time to think that these people had a normal life or semi-normal, I guess, if you're Tony Stark. But and then we're out adventuring as superheroes later on in the day. So they are kind of like a staple of superhero comic books, and they got done to death. And I couldn't think of any of them that I particularly enjoyed as far as something I could read now, and I still enjoyed the interchanges, you know, when they were in both forms. But one of my favorite kind of deconstructions of the typical alter ego superhero thing was on Ren and Stimpy, when Powdered Toast Man was the cool, hip youth deacon, like Deacon Toastman or Reverend Toastman or something like that. And he just hung out like in this low-light fireplace kind of den with an impossibly sexy secretary, and then would just be typing up these missives, whatever youth deacons in John Kay's brain do. And then suddenly he'd get an alert and then turn into Powdered Toast Man and take off. But just the idea that there's a superhero kind of haunting around as a cool youth pastor and kind of stuffy, but hanging out with this sexy secretary that knows his secret, it just cracked me up, even though he wasn't on screen much at all. Just the whole idea that I think he just nailed how silly the whole Superman, superhero, alter ego thing is when you really look at it. But like I said, my son likes it. He thinks it's cool that he knows a secret about the superheroes, so it was kind of fun for its time. I'll be interested to hear if anybody as an adult still gets excited about anyone's backstory. So thanks again. Bye.
It was Pastor Toastman. was his alter ego. But I love that answer. Powdered Toastman, that's excellent.
Typical Camarillo Brillo answer to the question of the week. Well, I haven't seen the movie. I don't really like alter egos, but I decided to call in anyway.
I love Powdered Toast Man, though. That's fantastic. That's a great one.
You know, I've never really watched Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, my God, Joe Patrick. I can't believe this keeps happening week in and week out. I've known you for how long?
Seriously? To help me through these moments as a teen.
Good God, man.
Where were you? In my moment of need.
Watching Ren and Stimpy, I guess. Good Lord. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go first with my favorite alter ego because Camarillo Brillo just brought it up.
Powdered Toast Man.
No, I'm going to do a hero and I'm going to do a villain. And for heroes, I'm going to say it's Tony Stark. I've always loved Tony Stark. He is Bruce Wayne in a good mood, basically. He's like well-adjusted Bruce Wayne. And he's funny. I think he's interesting because he had a drinking problem that he overcame. So he's haunted. He has demons in his closet. He's kind of a sex addict. He's into the ladies and stuff, you know? And like, I love Tony Stark so much. And I always have. I think he's easily one of the most interesting alter egos out there. For villains, I'm going to go with Kang and Immortus. I love the story behind Kang and Immortus. The fact
that that's not really an alter ego.
They're the same person, though. Immortus is Kang's future self, and they're fighting with each other.
But it's not like Kang takes off his mask and is Immortus.
I know. Kang grows up and turns into Immortus. It's so cool.
It's a stretch, buddy.
I love it. But they're the same person, and I've always thought that was so interesting that they were fighting each other, yet they were the same guy. You know, they just both existed in time, and like they've been in the same place at the same time before. It's so cool.
Time travel.
Oh, I totally love it. Joe Patrick, who's yours?
Fun fact, Kang the Conqueror has also been an Egyptian pharaoh named Ramatut.
That's right. That's right.
He's been all over.
He's got a few alter egos.
Yeah. I don't really know if I have a villain one. It didn't occur to me to pick one. Well, I'll go with my hero one. I love the idea of the secret identity. To respond to Camarillo's question, it's not that I get excited about it, quote unquote. But I like the idea that these people that are working so hard to save the world and protect the innocent have a life of their own that they're trying to maintain.
Yeah.
And sometimes failing. And I find that fascinating.
It makes it interesting, definitely.
Yeah. I find that to be a fascinating part of like the superhero's journey. And not everyone has one, and some of their alter egos are public knowledge. Like I'm a huge fan of Clark Kent. I love the notion that Bruce Wayne is pretend and Batman is the real persona. I think that's genius.
That's very cool.
But when it comes down to superhero, well, and of course, Peter Parker, who doesn't love Peter Parker? But for me, my number one favorite superhero secret identity is Wally West.
Of course. I should have known. Your boyfriend, Wally.
Oh, please. It's not like I said Speedball or Starman.
I know. I love Wally, too, though. I really do love Wally.
Well, I love Wally's story because he was the first sidekick to actually fulfill the dream. He grew up worshiping the Flash, and then he got his fondest wish realized, and he got to be the Flash's sidekick. And then when Barry Allen died, he got to become the Flash.
Yeah, he was kind of the first legacy character.
Yeah, well, no, but he was the first sidekick to kind of grow up and actually fulfill the role a sidekick is supposed to fulfill.
Okay, who was the first legacy character then?
Well, the first legacy character was Barry Allen. Because he picked up the mantle of the Flash from Jacob.
That's right.
So I love Wally West, especially what, not just Mark Waid, but for that whole run, William Messner Loebs and Mike Baron before Waid.
I loved Mike Baron's Flash. Loved it.
They built Wally West up as a character that was just as important as the Flash. And this was during a time where Wally kind of gave up the idea of having a secret identity. He let his identity become public. He didn't like flaunt it or advertise it, but he didn't really care. And so his day-to-day life was just as important as his superhero life. And I just really love the things that they did with that character, from him winning the lottery and becoming a millionaire and then losing the lottery and then getting a terminal illness that killed him every time he used his speed. You know, like, all this roller coaster of his life. And his wife, Linda, who was introduced way early in the run, ended up being a really compelling character, to the point that when they kind of wrote her out and tried to increase the tension and the drama, by implying that things had happened to her, people got really upset.
Yeah, people got bent out of shape.
Because they're so invested in Wally and Linda's relationship. I love the fact that his best friend is Nightwing. Like, there are so many things that I love about Wally West that he's definitely, without question, my favorite. When I say that my favorite comic book character is the Flash, what I really mean is that it's Wally West.
Yeah. No, definitely. I guess DC, I would go Oliver Queen with DC, old school Oliver Queen, like old liberal hippie Oliver Queen, not this new hipster, young, whatever. Like,
sure.
I loved Oliver Queen. And one of my favorite things would be every time him and Carter Hall got together, how they would just fight with each other.
Right.
I loved that character. Okay, we got a little extra time. Let me ask you this. Who do you think the most underused alter ego is? Like, one that you would like to see fleshed out a little more. So I think I've got one in my head. One of the most interesting that I don't think we've seen enough of, and that should just be absolutely amazing, Billy Batson. I love the fact that Billy Batson is a kid that turns into Captain Marvel, turns into Shazam.
Well, and have you not been reading Justice League?
I have. And they've just now, like, how long has this character been around? 70 years? And they've just now like started fleshing him out, and he's really interesting. I think the Billy Batson story in the back of the Justice League was the best part of those Justice League books.
It's true.
They were excellent. I mean,
other writers have, you know, kind of added to Billy Batson. There was a series in the 90s that I did not read called Power of Shazam by Jerry Ordway.
It wasn't good.
It's very quaint. It's very...
It was cute at best. I'll give it that.
Yeah. I love what Jeff Johns did with Billy Batson in JSA.
Yeah.
Where Billy Batson and Stargirl had crushes on each other.
Yeah, it was great.
And all Alan Scott and Jay Garrick saw was this grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Like, making goo-goo eyes at Stargirl. And they had, like,
it's really creepy. There's, like, all these aspects of the character that they never really get into that are really interesting, that need to be fleshed out. Do stuff with this character, please, you know?
I just love it. And so they had to, like, pull him aside and have it, like, look, son.
Yeah.
What you're doing is inappropriate.
And he couldn't tell him. He was like, I'm a 10-year-old.
Yeah, like,
kid.
The wisdom of Solomon would not allow him to tell them his secret.
That he's like 14 or whatever.
An alter ego that I'd like to see fleshed out more. Man, you know, I absolutely love it when they examine what happens during the Martian Manhunter's off hours.
Okay.
I love to see
Officer John Johns or whatever it was.
And not just that. There was an ongoing series in the early part of the 2000s by John Ostrander and Tom Mandrake.
It was great.
Monster Manhunter ongoing.
It was really good.
That revealed that he actually had like dozens of different alter egos.
Yeah.
One of them was a farmhand on the Kent farm when Clark Kent was just a baby.
Hey, whoa.
Because, of course, he was aware when there was a space shuttle that crashed on Earth.
Sure.
A spaceship. And I love that stuff. I love to see John Jones, doing different things in different identities. Some of them are women. Some of them are black dudes. Some of them... they could be any race or creed. I love it. I just think it's really fascinating. They haven't really done that so much in the New 52.
No, he's busy with Stormwatch fighting Lobo or whatever.
No, he's in the Justice League of America.
Oh, that's right. He's in Justice League America now.
But I would love to see them kind of deal with that a little bit more.
Awesome question. That one was definitely thought-provoking. You guys did a really good job on this one. I had a lot of fun with it. I wish Joe would have been here to have fun with me, but he's a busy guy taking care of his puppy dogs and whatnot. We will be back this...
Hey, next time you can come over to my house and we'll record.
Oh, yeah. If you had any technology over there, maybe we could. That'd be cool. We will be back this weekend with another exciting episode of Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast as per usual. And something tells me we're going to talk a little more about that Ostrander, Mandrake, Martian Manhunter series when the comic pushers show up. Guys, thanks for your calls. Please remember to call us at 402-819-4894 and leave us your answer to the question of the week. There will be a new question up this Friday. And like I said, we'll see you kids on Sunday.
Peace out.
Peace out.